it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Probably not going to elaborate at this time and in this space, but I just want to say that Chuck Morgan is freaking awesome, and I love him for so many different reasons. Right now, courtesy of Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers, Ford is the best in Texas. It is time to talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you.
And we've decided that this is the best spot for you going forward so we can feature you and you can get your morning pomp on and everything like that. So, is that a good way to put it? That's how I choose to
or
put
maybe,
it.
Or maybe my morning workout, right?
Sure.
Without rushing here and making sure there's no traffic problems.
Well, this is perfect. We'll have you at 11 o'clock going forward.
And then I won't get in the way of Bochy or...
Jerry.
Jerry.
Yeah.
Also on Fridays.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah. Just get me out of the way.
All right. Now, I talked about this with Corey yesterday, and I'm going to phrase it to you. I don't actually think this is a question, but I'm going to pitch it to you nonetheless. This Giants team kind of sucks, huh?
Yeah. So too many people are jumping on that, right?
Oh, okay.
I mean, what have the Cowboys done?
And
that's what I caution everybody.
Okay, I get you.
Because everything has changed, like, in one loss. You know, this is still a 7-10 team from last year. It's still 0-1 this year. They lost a game they should have won. And just because the Cowboys have this history of beating the Giants, it's not this team beating the Giants, right?
I am guilty of, I am one of those people, we've talked about this before, Mickey, I do sometimes fall into that category.
Yeah, like, oh, you know, this could be a trap game. It's like, trap what? The Cowboys haven't proven anything yet. So, yeah, I would be careful with going there. Now, do I think the Giants... You know, after watching them in the first game, feel encouraged? Probably not. You know, they obviously struggled. They struggled at the quarterback position. If you consider Russell Wilson completed 17 of 37 passes for 168 yards with a quarterback rating of 59.3.
And I think that completion percentage was like the fifth or sixth lowest of his career.
Yeah. And you know what? And 11 of the 17 completions were to wide receivers. The rest were to tight ends and running backs. So, and the other thing is, not only did he get sacked twice, not only did they have 8 quarterback hits, but they also had, what was the other stat I had?
Pressures?
Pressures were quite a bit. So, yeah, he was under duress most of the game, and I don't know if that had to do with him or the protection, but it might, protection-wise, not get any better this week since Andrew Thomas, their starting left tackle, who missed the opener, and he's still not practicing, or he didn't practice yesterday. So that doesn't help their protection cause one bit if he can't get on the field.
Yeah, absolutely. Now,
Well, go ahead and say it. That's all right.
Okay, great. And I will show you a copy of my notes where I wrote, this Giants team sucks. So yesterday, unrelated to all of this, Jadeveon Clowney comes and goes. I've heard maybe it's probable he won't sign, but I know the Cowboys also said he's on his own tour. Have you heard any insight to perhaps like interest level?
Well, the last thing I heard was, yeah, the Cowboys were interested in. And then when you see the guy, you know, he was here all day,
right?
You know, watch practice.
Right.
And then he leaves. That, to me, suggests, and I don't know this, that the money wasn't right. Like, he wasn't getting what he wanted.
Sure.
And you know, and the Cowboys don't have to overextend themselves, even though you've got some money under the cap to spend if you want, and to the point you could absorb a mistake or two. I don't think you just start throwing money at a guy that's been on five teams in 6 years.
I think most people would agree with you on that. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm not paying top dollar or whatever he's looking for. So my guess is, yeah, he's still looking for maybe more. You know, last year Carolina spoiled him, right? 2 years, $20 million, $12 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
That ain't happening.
I don't even want to pay him medium dollar. So yeah,
I'm
serious.
Gotta be
I'm
like
with you.
Two or three and incentives, right?
Yeah,
something
yeah.
like that. That's what I would do, but it's not my money.
Yeah, that's a good point. What I threw out is I would have loved to see something somewhat similar to the Javonte Williams contract in
yeah.
terms of guaranteed and overall incentives and everything like
and
that.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's what the Cowboys had in mind.
I have no doubt. I think we've both seen this how this team does certain financial things.
Right.
Now, the one bit of bad news, and hopefully it's not as bad as it initially sounded, but Daron Bland didn't practice, and then as the day went along, it sounded like the Cowboys are probably counting on being without him for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I heard multiple weeks. So think about this. If you counted up, like, how they likely went to training camp at cornerback, if I gave you their top six guys that they would have considered at corner, four of them are not available.
Ooh.
So we can start with Bland.
Yep.
Kalen Carson ended up on IR.
Yep.
Josh Butler ended up on IR.
Yep.
Savon Revel
yeah.
Is still on NFI.
And I would even make an argument to a certain extent about Diggs just because you only got him a third of the game.
Well, I got an asterisk by him.
Okay.
So it's Diggs and Kaiir Elam, and I put Diggs ramping up.
Okay.
So, you know, 27 snaps in the first game and basically just playing nickel on the outside corner, right?
Right.
So Bland could move inside. So now, to me, he's got to go. You know, you got to put him out there. And so that means Diggs and Elam, and now I got to have somebody in the slot. Well, last week, you know, if something had happened, Reddy Steward was going to be the next guy in the slot. So he may have to step up into the slot with all these injuries. And then the next corner, well, Tre'Quez, how do I say, Tre'Quez Bridges?
Yeah.
And then you might have to bring up Childress. From
yeah.
And you'll have to anyway, right? Because you're going to need another corner available. And so, yeah, that's getting pretty darn thin. And, you know, I don't care if you're in man or zone, you know, you still cornerbacks, you still got to play. And so last week, when they elevated guys from the practice squad, it was Flannoy and Buddy Johnson. And Buddy Johnson played 42 snaps on special teams. So I would imagine they're going to wear out his elevations till they get to three. And if they got to go with Childress, then I would imagine Flannoy, who only had 26 special team snaps, is probably not being elevated.
Okay. Yeah.
So, but yeah, this is a problem that the lack of experience depth at the cornerback position.
And so we talk about kind of like the symbiotic nature of defense. Does that add extra pressure to the defensive line or the defense in general to get quicker pressure or get more pressure on Russell Wilson to hopefully not leave those routes open as long.
Yeah, the same amount of pressure that they should have they had in the first game. Just make sure the quarterback doesn't get outside the pocket.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Make sure you stay in your lanes. It's got to be a contained pass rush. Because as we saw, I know what the other stat on Wilson was. He ended up running 8 times for 44 yards. Hmm. Those weren't designed runs.
Sure.
So that's another indication of their lack of pass protection. So the other thing is, you know, he looked like he was pulling it down at the first sign of danger. So you better keep him in the pocket, too, because he was the leading rusher in that game for the Giants. That's how much trouble they had running the football. And if you looked at last week, the leading rusher for the Eagles was the quarterback.
Yeah.
So you can't have that. You just can't have that. So I think it was important last week with the pressure, and I think it's as important, as you pointed out, if not more this week, to get controlled pressure on Russell Wilson.
And I know, obviously, a lot of people talk about, you know, pressure coming off of, whether it's like a cornerback blitz or off the edge, but Osa had the fourth highest pass rush win rate inside, and that feels like another thing that, not that people don't care about, but sometimes it gets lost when we talk about pressures.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, how did they say it? No guests on defense?
Right.
Well, yeah.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
No guests in the middle either.
Yeah.
You know, let's go. And I think one of the things that you'll probably see, especially needing pressure up the middle, is at times with the number of, well, I don't know that it's an experienced number, but number of pass rushers on the outside. You know, in training camp, I saw Sam Williams rushing inside on a nickel situation, and Nealon can move inside also. If you know you're in a definite passing situation, so you can put more of your pass rushers on the outside. And that's also a possibility to create pressure when it's third and obvious passing downs.
Thank you very much, good sir. We will catch up at the end tomorrow after Jerry.
After Jerry.
That's right.
Better listen, right?
Yeah, you need to be listening at all times, maybe.
Right, just every time, right?
Exactly.
Okay,
there
I
you
will.
Go. Mickey,
see
you. Mickey Spagnuolo from DallasCowboys.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.